Your Bible, turn back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 this evening. Daniel chapter 6. Anybody got a testimony this evening? Amen. Sure. Amen. Sure. Sure. Amen. Sure. Amen. Sure. Amen. Sure he does. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, for in His great love He loved us. Had it not been for that great mercy that He had upon us, He's full of mercy. He loves sinners. You know, it's amazing. I heard a young man preaching this afternoon, and he's talking about all this stuff going on, these wicked people, these transgenders. Hey, but you know, God loves them because He's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. We can't imagine loving like God loves. Even though as much as we love, God loves more. He looks down. We criticize, but He looks down and He loves those. And He's extending His mercy today as we look around. But God. That's what it's all about, but God. Had it not been but for God, we'd all be in hell this afternoon. So we praise the Lord for that. Anybody else?
sure.
We have that likeness. I mean, we are one in the Lord, and I'm so thankful. Not everybody can experience. I mean, not everyone is experiencing that.
Right.
Can.
Sure.
They can. They can have exactly what we have. And I'm just thankful for what God has
done. Amen.
And for y'all. I'm thankful.
Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I want to look at basically a lot, I guess, similar to what we looked at this morning, but I want to look at it in light of the importance of consistent faith. The importance of consistent faith. Hey, Daniel was in the same situation that the three Hebrew children was. He needed deliverance. He needed to be delivered from the lion's den. And I want to look at that thought this evening on the importance of consistent faith. I'm going to read this whole story. I mean, this is a wonderful story. Another story that children learn in Bible school and Sunday school, and we've all heard this. A story about Daniel in the lion's den and what took place there. But the Bible says in verse 1, said it pleased Darius to set over. Now this is the third king that Daniel has been under. The best I can tell, Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, and now we're here at Darius. And Daniel, I forget how many, I think it's three or four kings maybe that in the 70 years or so that he was in captivity, that he was under those kings. And you'll find that Daniel always found favor with the kings that he was there. Two men in the Bible that there's no sin charged to them, the best we can tell. Now, they were sinners. The Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But the Bible records no sin for two men, Joseph and Daniel. Joseph and Daniel, they conducted themselves in the way that a Christian should conduct ourselves. I mean, you know, it's hard. I mean, we know we all sin, but and we know that Daniel and Joseph, they did sin because they were sinners, but there's no charge of sin against them in the whole Word of God that I can find anywhere. And so we find here in chapter 6 that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents. I mean, here he is with Darius' own kingdom, and he's preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit that was found in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't let this deter him from his prayer life. He was a man of prayer, and he did the same thing. Didn't matter what kind of decree, just like the children of Israel. Children, the Hebrew children there, that we looked at this morning, how they said that their God was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace. And they said whether or not he would or did, they were going to serve him anyway, basically is what they said. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose up very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came in the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so we find here, as you look at this passage of Scripture, how God delivers again some more of his children. And I want to look at that thought this evening on the importance, though, of consistent faith. When you look at the life of Daniel, it teaches you the importance of consistency and faithfulness. It was Daniel that had purposed in his heart in chapter 1 not to defile himself. Then in chapter 2, it was Daniel that came through and was able to tell the dream and the interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar and save his life and the lives of the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers. And it was the influence of Daniel that no doubt had a bearing on the three Hebrew boys, three, to be faithful and bold in their stand against the idol worship. And it was Daniel in chapter 4 again that God used in the interpretation. vision of the tree vision. Then in chapter 5, we find again Daniel being used by God in interpreting the handwriting on the wall to Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Now we come to chapter 6 here this evening with yet another king, King Darius. And those that disliked Daniel was trying to find a fault with Daniel, has got the king to make a decree that whoever prayed to another god or man for 30 days be thrown into a lion's den. Daniel was a man of prayer, and when he knew the writing had been signed, went to his house, and the windows being open, he prayed as always toward Jerusalem 3 times a day and gave thanks before his God there in verse 10, as he always did. Daniel started right and he ended right. And it's not only important to start right, but it's important to run faithfully in this race that God has given us, and consistently all the way. No doubt there were people that were watching Daniel in Babylon, and we are being watched today as believers in this day and hour that we're living in. And the Bible tells us there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 3, I believe we read and quoted this here the other night in a message, but wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. So we find out that Daniel, in the beginning of the captivity, he started out right. I mean, he purposed in his heart there that he wasn't going to defile himself. And we see how God used him and his faithfulness and his consistency. He never, as the old saying goes, he never wobbled on the axle the whole time, no matter what kind of opposition that he was faced with. And he was just that kind of a person. And it said there that he was a man with an excellent spirit that was found in him. And we find that God used him tremendously in the work there during the 70 years of captivity. And if you find and you keep reading through there, I believe it's maybe the 9th chapter, hey, that Daniel was consistent in his faithfulness to reading the Word of God and studying the Bible that he had at that time. And it was through reading the book of Jeremiah that he found out how long they would be in captivity there in Babylon. And so we see that Daniel was a consistent, faithful person in the race that God had set before him, even in a strange land with idols that was before him. I mean, they tell us that in Babylon that there was all kinds of idols there. And ever since the children of Israel has went into captivity there, from that time on, I mean, we know the Jewish nation, but they never bowed to other idols after that. They got sick of them. And you get around, if you know the true God, Jehovah, if you know Jesus is your Savior, hey, you'll get sick of this world and the things that's going on. Hey, the idol worship even that we see today. And I want to look at just a few things this evening about Daniel and his consistency in faithfulness in this evening. And it's important this evening that we be found faithful. The Bible said, moreover, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. If we want to be pleasing to God, I believe we're going to have to be some consistency in our relationship with Him, consistency in our faithfulness in the things that we do and do for the Lord Jesus Christ, consistency in our serving Him and walking with Him. I promise you, hey, if you don't get consistent and faithful in reading your Bible, it's easy to get away from the things of God, the Word of God, and it's pretty easy to fold this Bible up, lay it aside after you go to church on Sunday, and just not look at it no more. It's going to take some consistency and faithfulness. And this world is looking at us. We're compassionate about with a lot of witnesses this afternoon. And if there's ever been a time that I believe that in our time that we need to be consistent in our faithfulness, it's in the day and hour that we're living in. So let me give you three things, I believe, here this evening about being consistent in faithfulness and how Daniel was that person of faithfulness. Number one, we see a consistent faith will be tested. A consistent faith will be tested. And that don't seem right, does it? But it is. I mean, a consistent faith will be tested. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible said, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall persecution. So there's a promise. Hey, if you live right, it's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be an easy road to go. Hey, there's going to be some persecution. And from here on out, we've not seen it yet in our lifetime, basically. Hey, but I believe if we live and Jesus don't come back pretty soon, hey, we're going to see some persecution. Already seeing the shootings that are stemmed toward Christians there in Tennessee, I believe it was. And it was because some transgender, hey, went in there and shot up that place. Hey, but it's just a blessing that they got to that and shut it down before any more was killed than there was. But if you live for Jesus in this day and you take a stand on this Bible, there's going to be some persecution you're going to suffer. A consistent faith will be tested. Daniel was tested there in the kingdom of Babylon, whether he would stand. The Hebrew children, boys, were tested there. Their faith, that when they had come to the point that they should stand, and they stood the test of that time. Notice what is accomplished, I believe, when faith is put to the test. Number one, we find the saint is cultivated there in verse 3. He said again, then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So we see God was developing some things even further in Daniel's life there. And if you live for God, hey, when the consistent faith is going to be tested in your life, there's going to come time, hey, when that's going to be put to the test, and it's when you're going to be cultivated, your faith and your love for God, the love for the things of God, it's going to be cultivated in your life. Just as sure as you go out and plant and sow a field and you cultivate that field, you're going to reap some benefits. And we find that God was developing some things even further in Daniel's life. First of all, you see his character was developed, I believe. I thought about this just a little bit before, and I wrote that down just there, sitting there. It came to me, the character of Daniel. When I'd mark some things here in chapter 6, I said this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, all those others, and those princes, because there was an excellent spirit found in him. I mean, even in a heathen nation, before a heathen king, I mean, there was an excellent spirit found in Daniel. He was that kind of person that loved God. He was a representative of the Jewish people there in captivity. And we find out the kind of character that he had. He purposed in his heart in chapter 1. He purposed in his heart chapter 1, and then God used him in chapter 2, hey, to save those other the magicians and those interpreters of dreams. And it was a hard task that he was faced with. But yet, he didn't ever throw in the towel. I mean, his character, through it all, when he was accused, and when they had to find something against his God to bring an accusation against him. I mean, he had the kind of a character, hey, that an individual Christian should have. A character, I believe, is what you would do, hey, when you're alone, and when if you thought nobody else would find out what you was doing. And that's the way Daniel was. He was in a strange land. He could have fell in with the status quo, and he would have been accepted, no doubt, because of the gift that God had given him to interpret dreams. And because, though, of his character, I believe that God worked through him and in him to answer these questions that these kings had for him, the dreams that they dreamed, the visions that they had, and all the things that was taking place there. Romans chapter 8, and we wonder sometimes when these things come in our lives. As the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Hey, I believe there won't be a test that comes our way, hey, that God don't allow, that He'll bring us through. So we see the saint is cultivating his character during these times and even during his course. I mean, Daniel was here for 70 years, and you read the book of Daniel, and God used him tremendously, hey, because of his consistent faith in God Jehovah there in the land of Babylon. God used him mightily in his character. His faith was cultivated in his character, in his course, and in his cause. His cause, he was there to represent the Jewish people. He had been put there for a specific purpose. I mean, he had been trained right. He had been brought up right. He had been taught right about the Jewish religion, or he wouldn't have been able to withstood the things that he stood up against. The Hebrew children, same way, I believe, and I've said this a lot of times. Hey, all these people weren't into idolatry. And all of these people weren't guilty of being negligent of the Word of God and being disobedient to the Word of God. A lot of them had been trained up right, but when judgment fell, hey, he got put in a situation, and because when his faith was tested, his faith was cultivated in these areas of his life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Trials are never to destroy you and I this evening, hey, but rather they're used to develop us into what we should be for God. Some of the best Christians I have ever seen, hey, they have been tested through the times, and they've had problems in their life that come their way, and burdens that's been heavy upon them, and yet they stood the test, and God brought them through, and they were great Christians. So we see that the saint is cultivated. Now, number two, we see the Savior is celebrated. There in verses 25 to 28, here's a heathen king. Said, "Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we see the Savior celebrated because of Daniel's trial. Hey, God received glory and honor. Hey, when the king come and he hollered down in there and said, "Daniel, are you all right?" And Daniel said he was safe there, and God had shut up the mouths of the lion. Hey, the king was rejoicing. He honored, he glorified God. And I'm glad that even when things come our way, hey, the Savior will be celebrated, what he's done. We've glorified God about where he's brought us from, the horrible pit that we was pulled up out of. Hey, we were hellbound in our life, and yet God, who is rich in mercy, shed his grace upon us and his mercy in our lives. He's glorified. He's changed some of the vilest sinners that I've ever seen. I've seen some folks that was deep in sin, and the God of glory arrested their heart. They trusted Christ as their Savior, and it totally changed their life. And God has been celebrated. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been exalted and lifted up for the change in that individual's life. So we see the Savior celebrated. And then, number three, the sinner is convicted. Verses 4 and 5, there he said, "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, hey, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Hey, they were convicted over Daniel's goodness, over his righteousness, over the kind of man that he was. They seen a difference in him, and they said, "We won't find nothing against him unless we find it because between him and his God, his relationship there." They knew that they would have to be find something used against Daniel's relationship with God. These men were disturbed by Daniel's faith. They seen what a faithful person. person he was. They seen that he was a praying man. Hey, that he prayed three times a day. He'd go to his house and he'd open his window toward Jerusalem and he'd pray three times a day, and they knew if they could get the king to sign that decree, they had him. Because they knew what kind of character he had. They knew what kind of course he was on. And they said, unless we find something, this man is a holy man, basically, and they knew that he was going to do right and his relationship with God. And they said, we're going to have to find occasion to hear against Daniel, against him concerning his God. And so they got the king to sign that decree about praying, because they knew Daniel wasn't going to quit. So we see a consistent faith will be tested. And then number two, we see a consistent faith will testify. A consistent faith will testify. Sometimes a testimony of faith under trial is louder than a testimony of words. A person that's under trial, that's under a test, a testing of their faith, a lot of times it testifies louder than the testimony of words. I love to hear testimonies, but I'm going to tell you, I like to see a testimony. I like to see someone that's walking with God, that's been tried, they've come through the trial, and they've come out purified as gold on the other side. A consistent faith will testify. It testifies to its foes. It testifies to its foes. Verse 10 and 11 again, there he said, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. I mean, we find that Daniel was a man that didn't give up. I mean, he was consistent in his prayer life. He didn't matter. He knew that something bad was going to happen. Hey, the decree had been signed by the king, and there wasn't and it could do to void that decree that he has signed. And we find out that Daniel, his faith testified to his foes, to those that were against him. Not only it testifies to his foes, but I believe it testifies to his friends. Verses 14 through 20. Said, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased, and I'm not going to read it all, with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So it testified to his friend. Hey, Daniel was a friend to the king. The king wasn't thinking. He was when these men come to him and they got him to sign this decree, he wasn't thinking about that one individual in his kingdom that was a praying man that he knew was going to pray to his God. If he had a king, he never would have signed that. Because he really thought probably more of Daniel than he did these other ones. Because when he pulled him up out of the king, out of the lion's den, what did he do? He cast them that was instrumental in getting Daniel put in there. He had them cast in there. So it testifies to his friends. And then thirdly, it testifies to his focus. There in verse 10 again, he said, now when Daniel knew, he knew that that decree had been signed, and he went to his houses at other times and went right back to his window. He had a focus on Jerusalem. He had a focus on praying to the God of Israel. And he had done the same thing that he had done day after day. Hey, these men had watched him. They knew what Daniel was going to do. And it testifies to the focus that Daniel had on believing God. Consistent faith will testify. We need consistent faith this evening. That people are so wishy-washy today, it's unreal. People are wishy-washy in everything that they do, just about their work, their relationships, their attendance to church, their living for the Lord. I've seen people, they were up high and they were praising God, and the next thing you know, you couldn't find them with a search warrant. We've talked about the revival that we had in 93. And there when Brother Sammy came and the meeting would get on, people would testify in the choir and they'd get excited. I seen a big old boy come out of the choir one evening, and he took off back there. The doors were shut and they opened yonder way. If they'd been a kid coming through those doors or lady, they would have got badly hurt. He hit those doors and those doors busted off the hinges. Well, it wasn't 2 or 3 days. We didn't see him again. We didn't see him for years, probably. He quit, and then he ended up, they started a church. He pastored for a little while, and then he ended up having an affair with a lady, and he ended up marrying another lady and left his wife. You say, you ought not be preaching. Well, hey, he wasn't ashamed to do it. I ought not be ashamed to tell it. And Daniel had the right kind of focus. He had to focus on the God of Israel. He was focused on his prayer life, that he was going to bring glory to the Lord. And he had a consistent faith that testified to his focus. What's our focus this evening? Is it in glorifying God? Is it bringing honor and glory to Him? I hate to tell that story about that young man. We liked him, and we did something to him. Busting a door, he said, them was God's doors. I said, yeah, you tore God's doors up, though. Hey, I like getting excited. I like to see people get excited. But when you're endangering somebody else's life, hey, the Holy Ghost ain't more in that than anything. Hey, God wasn't in that. That was for show. If it hadn't been for show, he would have been focused on serving God, and he would have continued serving God. I believe that with all my heart. A consistent faith will testify. Consistent faith will be tested. And number three this evening, a consistent faith will be triumphant. A consistent faith will be triumphant. It'll be triumphant over the adversary. Daniel's faith allowed him to see victory over the den of lions. Can I say this afternoon, hey, your faith can be a consistent faith will be triumphant over the devil, over the flesh, over the things of this world. If you really want that in your life, if you walk with God, Daniel's faith allowed him to see victory over the den of lions, over the danger that was lurking around him because of those enemies that he had, over the darkness, over Darius the king. The king had the authority to put Daniel to death. But Daniel had found favor in the eyes of King Darius, and because of that, King Darius, he brought Daniel out of the lion's den, and he threw those other men in. Not only consistent faith be triumph over adversity, but over the adversary. Over the adversity, but also over the adversary. The devil. The Bible tells us the devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour this evening. You know, we all fight the same battles. We've all got the flesh. We all fight the devil on a regular basis. Hey, we see the devil, the prince, power of the air. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour today. He's devouring whole churches. He's devouring people every day. Good people. Good moral people, a lot of times, he's devouring them because they're not consistent in their faith and they're not trusting God on a regular basis, and they get to a point in their life and they get away from God, they get away from that relationship, and the next thing you know, they're a statistic. They're a statistic. So a consistent faith will be a triumph. Triumphant over the adversity that comes in our life, over the adversary. Our enemies. The Bible said, pray for those that despitefully use you. You know, if we would pray for those that despitefully use us with the right kind of heart, the right kind of attitude, hey, God would take care of that. I believe that with all of my heart. Read a story about a man by the name of Craig Davidson, who was a consistent man. The Phoenix, Arizona resident began running regularly in 1978 and hadn't missed a single day since then, when an article was written about him in 1997. By May of 1997, at the age of 43, he calculated he had logged in 120,000 miles, nearly 5 laps around the world. His regimen of running is an example of consistency by itself, but what he's done traveling all of those miles is an equally impressive lesson in consistency. While running, Davidson keeps his eyes open for, listen to this, for loose change, and doesn't pass up a single penny. The consistent vigilance has paid off. Over the years, he has collected $5,170. All those dimes, nickels, and pennies paid for a second honeymoon to Hawaii in 1991. Consistency pays off, but we frequently neglect it because the dividends come in slower than we desire. We'd all like to find $5,000, but are we willing to run 120,000 miles to get it? Are we willing to run consistently and keep our eyes open and looking for those opportunities God placed in our lives? Hey, what is finances, meaningful relationships, maturity, or physical fitness? Consistency is the best route to take. And there's very little consistency in this world. Hey, look around. Watch around in the church house. Hey, watch around in the places that you go every day. People that you're familiar with. They're inconsistent. They're inconsistent. We need some Daniels in our day. We need some men and women of faith who will make up their minds to just be consistent. I wonder this evening, are you a consistent Christian? Do you live every day to the glory of God? God just wants people, I believe, this evening to be consistent. He just wants us to walk in obedience minute by minute and day by day. Hey, does that describe you and I tonight? God is looking for some men and women and boys and girls, hey, that will be consistent. Daniel was one of those. Daniel, if you study his life and read the book of Daniel here, you'll find that Daniel was a consistent young man that had influence on three others. I don't know. There was probably some others. I've thought about that a lot of times in the kingdom. Hey, that hadn't bowed a knee to the idols of this world, that was brought up right. But yet, God, the Holy Spirit, seemed fit to honor these four men in the Word of God. About their consistency. They were all consistent. As far as I'm concerned, the Hebrew children, they were consistent in their stand. Daniel was consistent in his course and in his cause to walk with God and to be that testimony, that individual that brought glory and honor to God Jehovah during that time frame that he lived in. 70 years that he was in captivity. He lived to be an old man. And no doubt God used him in many ways. And we have the book of Daniel that tells us the things that's going to happen. If we get in here and study and look, we can find out what's going to take place. A lot of typology, a lot of things that pictures here in the book of Daniel. But the most important thing is to see, I believe, is the consistent life that Daniel and his companions lived. In a bad situation. Hey, they were away from home. It's bad to get away from home, you know, and not know anyone around. You know, that's where they were carried. But yet God used them tremendously there to help others, even the heathens that was there. And it was very interesting, all these kings that recognized Daniel's God, hey, but he never became their God. Daniel found favor, and Hebrew boys, they found favor. But yet, none of these kings, the Bible records, that ever really trusted their God. He never became their God. He was Daniel's God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, but he never became their God. But yet, they had the testimony of faithfulness and consistency. And I believe that's what we need today is consistency. We look around and we wonder sometime if we're making a difference. There's somebody watching. There's people who got their eyes on us. They're looking for us to slip. They know what you've professed, you and I have professed, and they're looking for us to slip up and mess up and fall by the wayside. Consistent faith will pay off in your life. It may not seem like there's anything happening, but I promise you, hey, people are taking notice and they're watching you and I. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Lord, we thank you for people that are consistent in their faith today, Lord, as we look around and we could begin naming people that we know that they're always faithful to the work of God. They're faithful to be a part of it. They're faithful to give to it. They're faithful to be involved in everything that's around them. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to, that here at Open Door, that we'll be consistent in our faith, in our walk with You, in our relationship with You. Help us to be consistent in our prayer life. Lord, we know we all fail in this area of prayer this afternoon. Lord, and I just pray that You'd help us just to draw closer to You, Lord, in these days that we're living in. Lord, I pray now that You go with us through this week. Lord, go with us to go separate, meet back with us on Sunday. Lord, help us to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Lord, I pray that You just ever stir our hearts through the week as we think about this week, Lord, in the week that was there before Your death and before Your burial and before Your resurrection. Lord, help us to keep focused upon You in these perilous times in which we're living in. Lord, we love You and we thank You again for the opportunity we have to serve You, to worship You, and Lord, just to be a part of the kingdom of God. Father, have Your way in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen.